And we are back from recess. Prior to stepping into the first order of business, which we have deferred to a time certain, which will be the road materials bid, I'd like to call on our county auditor, Rick Finley.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you taking the time Thursday to meet with all the elected officials and moving that budget meeting to there. That was a good thing to do, I think. But I would like to just kind of hit on this. You and I, Ron, had a meeting with Branson City on TIF payments and the way we pay those. And I think maybe even you have an account that you can read there to kind of give everyone a better idea of what we had there. Can you do that?
Yes. Rick and I met with the city administrator and the finance officer and discussed the TIF, and I have drafted something, just two paragraphs, which very simply I would like to read. The city of Branson and the county are working together cooperatively to seek a determination of the correct formula regarding amounts due the city. This is not a contentious undertaking by any stretch of the imagination. The county auditor has found that the county is being charged for a percentage of funds that the county never receives. Quite simply, this may have been the intent of the General Assembly when TIF laws were written. However, counties and cities across the state have differing interpretations and therefore utilize different calculations for the disbursement of TIF funds. It is in the best interest of both the city and the county to seek a determination of which interpretation is correct and then move forward. We will continue discussions and settle upon a method of legal determination. And just a note, the amount of money varies monthly, and it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,200 to $1,400 usually.
That's a good estimate for it, yes.
But just because some questions have been raised, and I apologize, I had forgot that you were going to mention that during your comments this morning, so I'm glad that we did.
It definitely relates to our budget, and I appreciate you taking time to do that.
Thank you. Randy, we are ready for your discussion regarding the road materials bid opening of this morning.
I have looked over the bid, and they do have a good price on all the items listed and location, and we'd like to recommend the bid from Leo Jernigan Construction.
Ron, if I could, just a couple thoughts is I think we had a situation in the previous bid that we had a situation where the bid was the previous bids were redone, and legal counsel at that time, Pat Keck, recommended us that we send it out for bid. I would like her, just because of the situation, have her review this, if I could, just for peace of mind for me. But so I think she's going to be here at 1 o'clock today. Isn't that what she's supposed to be here at 1?
Well, yes, we'll actually get to her probably 105 or 110 following the national emergency grant.
What I'd like to do is postpone this again to a definite time. So I'm going to move that we postpone the bid award till the executive session. So I'll postpone to a definite time of 1:15 the rock material bid opening for legal review.
So that will be during executive session?
No, it's not opening. It's the.
I'm sorry. It'll be after that. So I need to postpone it till, say, 3 o'clock. Is that right?
No. If you want it during executive session and you state 1:15, then while we're in executive session, that's when we'll bring it up.
We don't need to award it until after it. So 3 o'clock is what I would like.
You said opening is what I said.
I did say opening. 3 o'clock. I'd like to postpone it until 3 o'clock. So Pat, when she gets here, has a chance to review the bid, and then she can then at the end of our executive, when we come back out, we're coming out anyway for the newspaper services bid, so we can award it then.
Motion's been made to defer to a time certain of 3 o'clock the road bid received this morning.
For legal counsel review.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll second.
And the motion has been seconded. Any discussion?
No.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carried. So this will be reviewed by council, and then we'll discuss it at 3 o'clock when we, in fact, do the newspaper services bid opening.
Correct. Who is the CID is the next request on the list, and I didn't know if we're going to expect a. Is it Daryl?
Daryl Gross is the individual who had made the presentation. In fact, I had thought that he would be here for any additional questions that might be forthcoming. We are the ones that deferred it for an opportunity to review it. And it is scheduled for 9:45.
Maybe that's why the county clerk is here.
Donna, do you have some comments about the Missouri Community Improvement District that has been presented?
Gentlemen, thank you. Some of the comments that were brought up in our last conversation were concerns for citizens that they were not aware at the time of purchasing property that there would be a SID attached to that property. And we had discussed doing some kind of disclosure and attaching that to the ordinance. I did send that request to our attorney, Pat Keck. The other conversation was that we currently have a SID that is collecting their own funds. It was my understanding at the time, just based on conversation, that we might want to add that to the ordinance to require that they go through the county. But that may not be something that you want to do. Excuse me. I have not heard back from the attorney. I thought Ms. White was going to be here. If you'd like, I can go see if she can join us.
Well, Ms. whom?
Ms. Wyatt?
Yeah, it was my understanding that we were supposed to meet with the assessor and the collector and myself today to discuss the impact to the county. Isn't that what our meeting was today?
I'm not sure. I knew that a couple things. Before I answer that one, you said you talked to Pat Keck, right?
I had sent her an email.
Okay, so Pat will be here at 1, so maybe she's waiting to give us a briefing at that.
Sure.
So, or Frank maybe, the new attorney maybe one handling that. We had talked about making sure that in our last conversation, we maybe made suggestions of how we're going to collect it, who's going to collect it, and if we're going to require some sort of disclosure at the with the initial offer, I think is what we said before. Because currently, I think the CID only shows up at the settlement statement at closing, and we want to make sure that the CID potential tax bill shows up at the offer letter too. But we talked about a bunch of those things, but.
And that was just my questions to her, was whether we could attach that to the ordinance. It seemed like it would give it more weight, and certainly if that portion of the ordinance was not followed, then the taxpayer as well as the county would have an option to take action upon the CID for noncompliance. But that may not be a direction you want to go. Those were just some questions I was asking Pat to see what we could do.
In your review of the petition itself, were you under the understanding that there was only one property owner that fell within this area?
Well, it's the property owner, his children, and then two people from that are involved with Castle Rock. I believe it is Mr. Jamel that owns it. But he has listed his children and two people who are currently involved with Council Rock as board members. So let me clarify that. But, yes, I think it's one property owner. And, actually, I don't know if he is actually the property owner at the time he is purchasing it from Council Rock, and part of the purchase was that it be in a SID. Whether or not all the lines are signed, I don't know. I think we'd have to ask James that. I don't have that information.
But what my point is, what was brought to us was, if I'm not mistaken, the comment that this property was owned by one person or
one entity.
Or one family, one entity.
Yes, much like Branson Hills was owned by one or two investors, I think.
Right. Is that something different, Ron?
Well, I've been approached by one of the property owners up there that had been left out. Is what he is. Those are his exact words. That has property in that
in
area.
That geographic area.
Yeah, and he was kind of concerned about I mean, enthused about maybe what it would do for roads and things in the area, but concerned about the fact that he was left out. He asked me if they brought it to my attention whenever they were over and made the presentation, and I said no. As a matter of fact, I specifically asked if they were the only property owners in that meeting, and then I told him that, and he said, well...
Donna, can I ask you a question? Through this application process, isn't it we're supposed to verify all property owners?
That's what I was looking for. James had to verify who.
Well, that's what I thought too. So,
and that is in here somewhere.
I did ask if he was part of initial owner.
It doesn't matter to me.
If he was an initial owner in the property or. If he just bought a portion or what, and he said, no, he just bought a portion, but he didn't think he was the only one that he bought part.
Second paragraph says, this petition is filed on behalf of 100% of the property owners of record.
And Donna, was your opening comment that there had been some discussion from individuals who, maybe I misunderstood, maybe you said lived in the area or lived in the area to be incorporated into this entity?
I haven't had a discussion with any property.
I misunderstood you. Sorry.
It's okay.
Do you know of any, Sheila, do you know of any property owners that have questioned this? I mean, this person came to me.
The surrounding area has been questioned, but the actual SID that they have given, the boundaries of the parcel numbers that were given to me within that boundary are all owned by Castle Rock LLC, which normally when they're doing this, they want to own it so they can vote on it and establish it the way they want it. Then they start selling the property to people. But the parcel numbers they gave me that they obtained, I assume, from the assessor's office, from probably Tim, from the meets and bounds of the SID that they're asking for, are all titled Castle Rock LLC.
And that's what I have here, along with the assessed valuation and acreage.
But property owners of the surrounding area, I don't know if they've notified.
Right, that them. Castle Rock had already previously sold to?
Pardon?
And those could include property owners that Castle Rock had previously sold to?
No, the petition was specific parcel numbers, and the parcel mm-hmm. numbers show that they're all owned by the same entity.
When I checked these about, I don't know, when I got this document, when I checked it, they were all owned, and I checked the assessed values and so forth, and they were all owned by Castle Rock LLC, and I thought the document was pending the owner selling it to these people. If a,
right.
If you were, I don't know, are you going to do a, are they asking a SID or a...
SID. A SID.
I mean, I'm sorry. A SID can either be a non-for-profit organization or a political subdivision, and I assume they're going for a political subdivision.
Yes, correct.
Which gives them all authority then.
April 22nd, it was verified that this was all one parcel of the people. Of the, all the parcels that submitted on the petition are owned by one entity. And just for the, under the statute 671431, 50% or more have to sign off on it of the petition in order for it to get to this point. So...
The surrounding properties have any authority whatsoever to voice
not a SID
concern?
Not a SID.
Well, they have the right. I don't know that they have any direct.
Correct. They always have the right.
They
right, right.
voice it to the commission before they approved
right.
the SID.
This gentleman asked me if he could opt out. That was his.
But he's not in.
He's not in.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I have List and Danny and... they are all showing owners, Castle Rock LLC.
Okay. I have some concerns. I'll just tell you that. I know this guy's...
Now, they were wanting a bridge built there where that gets the water over there. Is that... I don't believe that's part of the SID, is it? Where they were asking for the bridge to be built earlier, where the water gets...
Whom did they ask to have the bridge
the county
built?
Commission.
Oh, last okay. year, right?
That mm-hmm. was before me.
Yeah, before the SID was, before this application. Mm-hmm.
But that part where they're wanting the bridge built, I do not think is in the SID. So are they still coming to the county to build that?
I don't believe so. the bridge discussion stopped last when?
Yeah, they've had no discussion since I've been here.
I think it changed.
When it changed hands, I think.
It changed hands.
Yeah.
Our discussion with the bridge was with a totally different individual than the ownership now.
Okay.
And I think you have a copy. It's in this, Jim, if you've got that. This is the page where James's information.
Right.
Here's his signature verifying that those are the property owners.
Well, I'm going to entertain a motion that we wait on this for a different date to bring it forward. There is a time limitation, I think, that is of concern because they want to sell the property, but
I think we've met the time limitations on setting the original hearing. I'm not sure when the deadline is for the decision, but we have had the public hearing, and that does have a time constraint.
What I would like to do is, now that I know this much, that it's the property that he's concerned about is not in the SED,
right.
I would like to at least contact him, let him know that. He assumed it was. It's a property owner that assumed it was, and he said that he would like to ask me how he could opt out, so I wouldn't vote on it this time myself, other than on the negative side till I find out.
Yeah, and if you'll talk to me later, or you can, of course, talk to James, we can look it up and find out.
Did we, in fact, schedule this meeting today to hear from other elected officials? Is that what you had thought?
Yeah. That's what
you also, Sheila?
I didn't know.
So do you have some other thoughts for us, Donna?
I don't. There was a request made by the commission that we meet as elected officials to discuss the impact of Tini County, and there was an email sent out setting an appointment for today by your office to comply with that request.
That's what I got, was an email put on my calendar.
Right, exactly.
That we were having the hearing today?
Requesting for me to be here.
I mean, the impact to Tini County, it's the citizens that are going to be in Castle Rock that are going to be the concerned citizens. And if they are made aware of what's going on in advance, I don't see an issue. But if they're not aware, clearly aware, then Sheila, if Sheila does do the collecting, will have to deal with the citizens later. And that has been an issue in the past. And certainly we want to protect our citizens.
Do I understand from their presentation of this particular proposed entity that all expenses that we would incur would be covered?
That was what I was going to suggest. I do not know what they said in regard to that, but because the way this is written, it's different than any other SID, so we would have to have a program that would some programming done, and I would request that they pay for the programming.
He mentioned that all associated costs with this that they would cover.
I would like to get from you all what you think or anticipate that those costs might be. Reduce that to writing. We will share that with council. I also believe that whomever it was that brought up whether or not we could attach strings to the SID so that there would be transparent disclosure of all assessments. Those were not the words that were used, but that's where we were headed. So that any person that would be purchasing property within this proposed entity would upfront know what their assessments and charges were going to be, because apparently that's what troubles many people who become parts of SIDS, that, you know, somewhere on page 213 of a 300-page document, there's a huge assessment that they have to pay on an annual basis. And if, in fact, we can reduce those to writing, and these individuals that are asking for this SID to be formed are in acceptance of that, I think we've covered at least part of the hurdles that I'm hearing. Could you all help me with what those costs may be? I know that you're going to have programming costs in the collector's office, or we're going to have it in IT, wherever that expense is going to fall.
Well, we're in a little situation right now is we're trying to get a program ready, a program, and I could have told you with our old program are pretty much what those cost, but we're going, and so you'd have to, I don't know, we'd have to talk with them, the new company that we're going with, Village GIS, and I would have to explain to them how to write it into the program. They would have to do the programming for it. So I don't know. It'll be a little bit more difficult getting the cost right now because of what they're doing.
What other costs can you two think of aside from those programming changes that we may be faced with?
Well, we've already got some costs, but it's minimal. Of course, it's the newspaper ad, the letters that were sent out, the postage, that kind of stuff, but it's all very minimal.
Well, I mean, we had legal counsel review this. That was an expense to us.
Yes.
There are different expenses that we've incurred.
Yes.
On the collector's side, the programming will be it, except, and of course, 1% of the tax amount collected will go into the county GCR to, that should pay for the extra time spent collecting it. That's the initial cost will be the programming. You do have to, on the SID, you have to enter manually each parcel, the assessed value. Each year they notify me in September what the assessed value, because that changes from year to year. But once again, this SID is a little different, so because it's going to be based upon 4% of 100% assessment. So that would be different. It would take away the manual once the program is written for that, and then their levy. If I guess that would involve the clerk's office that no other SID has.
And what was that? Up to 1%?
$1. It can be up to $1 per 100 assessed value.
And that would have to be plugged in September, because that would have to. And I don't even know. I'd have to do the research to see if that would have to be sent to the state auditor for review or not. Because
and that will have to, and that could change year after year because they establish it each year, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
To me, it's another political subdivision once it's established. So, unlike the other SIDs, this will involve the clerk doing the levy part, and
it may even impact the assessor's office, because he sets the assessed valuation that the calculations are done upon. And just like every other political subdivision in the county, the assessor does receive fees for his setting of the assessed valuation. Again, this is new territory for us, so we would have additional attorney costs to determine that full impact.
Would you all be amenable to sit with me and maybe we could have talked to Village GIS by that, although I think that's a stretch for them, having not got our program in place yet, to give us a real approximation. But I truly wouldn't mind sitting or with the commission as far as that goes and have a roundtable discussion about how to make sure that we're covered if, in fact, this commission chooses to move forward with us.
I think another concern for the collector would be, if I understand the SID law correctly, they can attach these fees at any time. In other words, they may only want to do the levy portion this year, and then next year come back and want to do the 4%. And then what was the third one, the sales tax? So, which would affect us, but if we set the program up one way this year and then they change it the next year and want to add the 4%, then there would be additional programming unless we did all of the programming at one time.
Now, on the program, you would write it to cover the district that's set. You would write it the 4% of the assessment that would go down to the line item special assessment. And then the levy part, the programmers would have to create another levy feagle. Just so when the levy is entered in with all the other political subdivisions, you'd enter that levy there, and then they'd also have to enter it in your abatement, your add-on, your delinquent, all those programs. So it would be a one-time programming, but it would be adding to the program. Now, I'll add this on villages. That's the next step they've got to go, because all of the they've not got the SID part of the program written yet, because we're the happen to be the only county right now that that involves. So they've got to write the program for the SID that we are currently doing right now. I could not actually, what I know now is if this is proved, I think there's just a, oh, how many parcels were they? Maybe 11, 12 mm-hmm. right now. So if it were approved, I would probably do that by hand this year. I wouldn't expect it to probably be in the program.
Well, if in fact the property sells contingent upon this SID being created and they start selling property right away, that number could certainly
yes.
fluctuate, because they've got over 2,100 acres in this.
And they'll probably do a master plan, and then they'll have a bunch of parcels created, and then you could have hundreds and hundreds of parcels out there, absolutely.
Just like a TIF grows, changes.
My Branson Hill SID increases by many each year.
Yeah.
We had to split out 80-some after we were charged with the 2010 taxes. We had to split it out last year. And this, yes, I say once it sells, they probably have been doing some planning, and I imagine there'll be some sales come through.
Mm-hmm. So it's no stretch to say that this is going to put a considerable additional burden on our elected officials.
That's right.
It's just right now with all the changes and going to the assessor's office and the collector's office going to a new program, there's a lot of testing to be done on that right now. I've got concerns on that already, getting the time limit in for the tax season. I don't know. Are they wanting to do it this year? Are they wanting it, the levies? Are they wanting the assessment put on this year's? If it's approved, are they wanting it to be done for 2011?
Well, right now it's just them, so there wouldn't be any additional. I mean, I think what you're going to see is.
Well, sure they would. They'd be taxing themselves.
Right.
Yeah. It may have to do with their bonding. That's what I understand of some of them. So it allows them to get a different type of bond. That's the reason they have the SID, some of them.
But if the SID, in fact, were created after the deadlines for levies to be or to be on the tax rolls and tax books themselves, it would not be something that we would have to worry about through the process this year. And it would be something, in fact, we would look at potentially next year.
That's my thought.
If I see. Okay. When is that magical date that was too late for a political subdivision to?
September 1 to set a levy.
Yeah, but they're really, I guess it is called a levy, but it's a different type of levy, isn't it? It's. First, what the 4% is of total assessed valuation?
Actually, it is called a levy on the $1 per 100 assessed, and they use the word levy in it. Now, their other one, their special assessment, is 4% per 100 assessment. That's their special assessment.
Well, I guess my question and where I'm headed is, they could do that regardless of the September 1st date for setting a levy.
I'm sorry, would you?
They could establish that because it's an assessment and say, and put the muscle on, if you will, we want this collected because the law says you will collect it.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no September 1st deadline for that assessment. That's what I'm thinking here. So we have to be cautious of that, too.
My agreement with the SID districts is to give me the numbers that they want put on by September 15th. I'm charged with the books at the end of September. And then I have to enter each one of those in.
Right.
Of course, this is just a few. But if it were established and they wanted that 4% assessment put on for this year, that could be put on. And I can't imagine them going after the levy this year.
Let me take it a step further. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't established until October or November,
no.
Then it wouldn't be an issue.
It would not be a 2011 assessment collected then. the books would already be done. We'd be charged with them. Because when this is done now, the present program, I enter it in a database in the collector's office, and there's a program that brings it over when the books are printed that the clerk charges me with. It brings that charge over that puts it on the actual tax book so that there's an accountability. There's a balancing there.
What does your calendar show for the 21st? Ladies, you don't have your calendars here with you, do you? I'm thinking about next Tuesday.
As far as I know, I'm fine.
Next Tuesday? To do what?
Just to sit, have a general roundtable about this.
The sewer boards will be using this facility.
Will they be meeting at, say, 1 o'clock?
They will be. They'll meet from 1 to 3 is what they've got booked right now in this room.
But I am available and would be delighted to sit with you two and the assessor and anyone else just to chat about this and put some more information together. If
Tuesday would be the last day next week that I could.
You're getting ready for
I don't know that I'll pretty Friday. Much... Just the expense to the county if they agree to pay for all the programming. And I'm sure they will because they want it on the tax bill. If they want it on for this year, the 4% on just that number of tax bills that are there right now, I would probably, right now I would manually add them. Did they say their time frame? Did they want it for this year? Did they say?
That's one thing they did not say. Mm-hmm. I don't think I remember asking that question or hearing that question asked is when they needed it. I know there's a transaction pending. That's why they want it done so they can close the property and probably go to the second stage, which is I could see them buying the property and then submitting planning and zoning. I mean, I think that's probably their next step. Mm-hmm. But we didn't ask that specific question.
They've got such an extensive layout on the building of all of their commercial buildings. I'm sure they've got a plat already made for those lots that they're going to sell.
Yeah, I think it would be immediate. That would just be my guess.
That's my thought is too, so they can move forward with the process.
Well, I can tell you, I don't feel comfortable unless we put in place some of the strings, if you will, the caveats that we've talked about, so there'll be transparent disclosure of any and all assessments that the public will be facing. For any individual that gets involved, I think that has to be a part of it.
And the law demands that now, when a real estate contract takes place, it was in there. It's just when a party buys a piece of property, if that's not their bit, there's so many things that they go through and everything that just slips by them. If you can have the closer there telling them, oh, there's an assessment of this for such and such, and there's so many other things to sign that they just did not realize until they get their tax bill, an extra $1,500 or some odd dollars on their tax bill, and they'll say, no, I was not told that at closing. But when they bring it, there's many, many pages of it, and it's over there. So the law requires them to disclose it now, but it just doesn't say how clear.
And see, I'd like to see them disclose it at the time of the offer. It's what I'd like to.
That'd be nice.
That because... At closing, everyone's gone through closings. It's just all you see is paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
But the initial offer is when people are looking at the cost of everything. But my thoughts are if we postpone this meeting till the 27th, which is 2 weeks, for us to come up with some wording.
When's the tax sale?
The tax sale's in August, but we're.
What am I thinking?
Yeah, we've got 13 some parcels that there's just.
That's what you're working on.
A lot of, yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, 27th for us?
For us to have some documents, some writings of what caveats we want, we should be able to have some pretty good ballpark figures of what it's going to cost us.
I can't be here then, but you won't need me.
I mean, if we can get the numbers ahead of time from Bill on GIS, but at least bring it back up. Because I think you're right. We've got to have some sort of in writing, what are we looking for from disclosure? of what we're expecting them to disclose.
If we could get Sheila, because you understand the process the best, to talk to Village IS and then get that information back to the commission on expected costs.
Right.
And then perhaps I can work with Pat Keck to come up with some language, have some more communication with her, and then bring that to our meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be good?
You want to set a time specific on the...
I think we should just shoot for the 27th and have Nikki schedule it. All right.
Yes, then what we will do over the course of scheduling is pick a time and alert you all about when that time will be for this particular meeting. And if, in fact, I could have a few minutes with both of you sometime between now and then, we can chat about your concerns that we can also reduce to writing. I'm also available this Friday.
Okay.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is the next thing. Right on the schedule.
Combs Redford support letter.
Max.
And Max.
Here's the letter, I guess, that they're wanting us to.
Thank you.
Hey, Max.
All right. Good to see you again.
Thank you. Max, when you go to the microphone, if you would identify yourself for those that are listening. Thank you, sir.
I'm Max Lytle from Developmental Connections, the Tatum County Board for People with Developmental Disabilities. I'm here this morning along with Alan Johnson, who's the principal from General Design and Restoration Incorporated, requesting a letter of support for an application to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, for a capital advance in the range of about $1.5 million to build another 15-unit apartment building for our county's citizens who have developmental disabilities. The property, of course, for this project is already owned by the county board. It's actually located to the north, more or less behind Tantone Sheltered Workshop and the current Dorgan Weaver apartment program, which is a HUD 15-unit apartment building that we finished in 2007. We missed the opportunity to build one of these projects in 2009. We just didn't quite make the cutoff on it. We went to Kansas City. We listened to their scoring system. We found out that we have to compete against the metropolitan market, and we have to make a bigger splash. There wasn't really anything wrong with our county project, but we're in a very competitive market. HUD did not issue requests for grants in 2010. They instead decided to do everything in 2011, and so we're back in the game this year, attempting to build more housing for our county citizens. The nice thing about these are that we will have 14 apartments with HUD rental assistance for our people. And then, of course, the 15th apartment is for staff or a house parent type situation, so there's always support. There's always someone there to prevent things from going wrong, prevent somebody from getting into the building when they don't need to be. These individuals get a rental assistance in, which means they don't pay any more than 30% of their total income for their rent and their utilities. For someone who maybe works a sheltered workshop and has a Social Security check and has a total income of $600 to $700, that means their rent and utilities is about $210, $225 a month. It's an excellent opportunity. HUD gives us a 40-year capital advance, which means basically we have a contractual agreement with HUD for 40 years to operate these buildings for this particular purpose. And if we do, then we don't owe them anything. At the end of the 40 years, the building is ours, the property reverts back to the county board, and everything is said and done at that point. It's just a matter of a huge amount of grant application paperwork. We've contacted all of our colleague agencies, the schools, the local elected officials, the state and federal elected officials.
Max, can we have you move to that other microphone?
That just one failed just now.
Okay.
We just got a note saying
that. Do I have to start all over?
No.
No.
Okay, good.
You can sit there if you want.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I just have a seat.
Here, I'm sorry about that, Max. I know
that's
it disrupts everything. But
yeah.
we're requesting a letter of support for this project. Every letter of support that we can get helps us make a bigger splash and helps us get more attention from HUD. As I said, we've got all of our nonprofit agencies have actually a memorandum of understanding with us to provide services to those people. All of the local elected officials that we have in the area, as well as our state and our federal elected officials, have either already submitted letters of support or in the process of doing so. All of our local school districts are submitting. Our current group of residents from Dorgan Weaver Apartments have already written letters of support, and we're getting letters of support from the number of parents of whose children, rather, would be living in this apartment building. As you see from my executive summary there are 93 people in our roughly 13 or 14 county area that we work with, because we work closely with the State Department of Mental Health Division of Developmental Disabilities. 93 people who are waiting on a waiting list. Half of those people are in a critical situation. About 25% of that 93 come from our county. They, of course, will get first choice. They'll get first opportunity. But we work with a much larger area, and in order to get HUD's attention, we have to look at it from more of a regional perspective than just a local county perspective. I can't compete against Metropolitan St. Louis, Kansas City, Omaha, Oklahoma City. I'm in a five-state area in competition for funding for, I think there's about 13 projects that will be funded in a five-state area this time. I want some of that money.
Sure.
May I have a letter of support from the commission?
Absolutely. I think it's a worthwhile project, and I'm going to move that we sign a letter of support for the, I guess we're going to call it the Section 811 program grant application for the,
yes,
Combs,
mm-hmm,
Redfern Apartments.
I'll second it.
Thank you.
And I'm going to, this date's old on this one, so I'm having them reprint a new one right now. So
okay, if you would please.
They'll just bring it right down. So.
Yeah, our deadline for submission of this, our goal is to submit it this week.
Okay.
There's still a few loose ends out there, like letters of service from the local sewer district and engineers that haven't given me their letters of confirmation that we've got fire protection water and things like that. But our goal is to submit this thing this week. So if you can zap that over to me via email,
it'll be done in the next couple seconds before you log out. So,
yeah. Motion's been made and seconded for this county commission to sign a letter of support for the Section 811 program grant application for Combs Redfern Apartments. Further discussion, gentlemen? Mm-hmm. Max, when's the deadline for this application to be in?
The absolute drop dead deadline is next Monday. My intent was to get this thing submitted on Wednesday of this week. I know there's a few loose ends out there. If I can get it in the mail, or actually we submit it electronically, if I can do it by Friday, I'd still be ahead of the game.
Great. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries unanimously. Max, is there anything else that we can do, either as a commission or individually, that will help in this effort?
In this particular project, maybe not, because we've already gone through that. But, you know, this is the fourth application of this type that I've submitted since 2004. And each time that I do that, I have to go to our local water district, our sewer district, and then, of course, through the Planning and Zoning Commission. Each of those are individual processes with their own time frames and their own systems that I have to go through. And there's no coordination between the three of them. If you as commissioners could engage those entities in some type of dialogue about how to coordinate those activities, it would be a great benefit to someone like myself, or I'm sure the for-profit developers, the private developers would say the same thing. We're not necessarily talking about building codes and standards. We're talking about a coordinated system so that if you go through and if you get a zoning permit, that means you have utilities.
Right. That's what you're saying.
We have an unfunded position that fell within this year's budget that was within our Department of Economic Development that, in, mm-hmm, fact, dealt with grants or the application of grants. And I think that would be certainly a responsibility that could fall within that position. that would, could work with the different entities when we're doing this that would be extremely helpful.
It would, from my point of view. You know, those are the when you're working on a deadline, trying to get an application of this size, and I'm sure there's plenty out there that, that just dwarf this one. But when you have no control over those kind of things, they're the issues that give you the most worry. You know, and I'm sure that private developers have the same problem, that if they could go through a more streamlined process, knowing that once you present your project and it's approved, then it means you've got your utilities as well as your zoning. That would just make things a lot simpler for us.
Max, we have a copy. We have a letter, rather, regarding this application that the three of us have signed.
Mm-hmm.
And if, in fact, I could have you take this up to our office so that the girls could get a copy of this for our files,
yes,
then this will be yours.
Absolutely.
Sounds good. We're all set.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, Max.
Thank you, Max.
Got a brief note on compensation for Planning Commission board members. We had received an email from our Planning and Zoning Administrator regarding this issue.
Right. We had made a decision to follow the Missouri statutes, which is 64.805 regarding attendance fees, where it clearly says Missouri statutes concerning attendance fees shall not exceed $25 per meeting. So I'll move, and that includes travel expenses, what the statute says. So this is just doing some administrative cleanup, but I'm going to move that we, assign a fee of $25 per meeting per Taney County Planning and Zoning Commission member that are in attendance.
According to statute.
According to statute.
And I'll second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to set the attendance fee for planning and zoning members who are attending meetings at $25 in compliance with Missouri statutes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries unanimously.
There you go.
Thank you.
We have listed as our next item of discussion, 911 funds discussion.
I believe that's when we were going to approve that check that we just approved.
Well, Jim, if there are other things that we're going to chat about here, did you want to join in this conversation?
No.
Provided we have one. Well, it's in addition to that, let me raise a couple of issues while we're talking about 911 funding. I chatted with Dean Krutoff and the director of Branson's Finance this past week about a couple of issues. One was TIF and the other was 911 operations. They know that something is going to have to be done regarding 911 and how 911 is funded. And, of course, it's been one of the priorities of Missouri Association of Counties, and I dare say probably the Missouri Municipal League, for some time to see that 911 within the state of Missouri and the potential for funding 911 could be changed, because currently, or I should say originally, one of the ways that 911 was funded was by attaching to the landline phone bill a percentage, this county began that process, wherever it was at, but the maximum that you could levy was 15%. And that was to carry the costs of providing 911 service throughout the county and all the cities that are within the county. I don't know what the percentage is today, but I dare say that more than half of the county residents within this county no longer have a landline. And as a result, our revenues to provide this service are plummeting on an annual basis. So to continue providing the service, something has to be done. And if we continue to stir the state, we may get movement, but we have tried for the past few years to get them off dead center. I believe that the state of Missouri is the only state in the nation that does not have a fee levied against cell phones for 911 service. Is that right, Jim? Is that your understanding too? So aside from the fact that we certainly need to lobby the state more, we also, in the meantime, have a problem that we need to address, because within a year, we're not going to have the funds to fund the services that we've been providing. And since we are passing those funds through to the Taney County Sheriff's Department and currently to the city of Branson, when the funds that are passed through from 911 are not enough, it means we're both going to have to draw from general county revenue, which may mean taking from some other source or service that's being provided. So I believe it's an issue that has to be talked about. This commission has talked about, since the beginning of the year and through budget time, bringing someone on board to evaluate the entire system of 911. And that's what I think that we, the direction that we should head locally. And I think you have some words, if that verbiage works, that will start us on that process.
Yeah, I've got words that would be put into a motion, if that's what you're asking for.
That's what I'm asking for.
All right. Well, then I'm going to make a motion that I move that we hire a consultant through the bid process to coordinate an outside study to provide an analysis of existing 911 operations, determine potential savings, possible enhancement revenues, and possible consolidation.
I'll second the motion.
Motion has been made and seconded that we hire a consultant through the bid process to coordinate an outside study to provide an analysis of existing Taney County 911 operations, determine potential savings, possible enhanced revenues, and possible consolidation. I would like to work with the city and the Sheriff's Department in drafting the language that would be necessary, although I will put something together and run it by. Is that why you're here today also, Sean? That I will send you, gentlemen, as far as some quick bid specs, just so that we can look at bringing someone on board that will carry the ball for us.
One thing that you need to do is, are you looking at 911 consolidation? Are you looking at communication?
I think that we need to have somebody that looks at everything. But, in fact, right now I'm really centering on 911 because we're running out of revenues to fund it. But I'm open to sitting with you and talking about how to do that. But I think the person can bring back, and I can tell you who they're going to draw their analysis chiefly from. It's going to be from the sheriff. It's going to be from
Sean
in the city. And
we know where the money goes. The money goes to the communication system, which is the dispatch and all that. And we've got to figure out if that bucket of money is shrinking, we've got to figure out how to operate within that.
I just want to make the scope of the bid, when we write it, big enough that we can get a lot of different information back and then weigh that information and hopefully move forward with something that will help. I eventually think there has to be a change in the thinking of our state legislature before this can be adequately addressed, but
Ron,
we have to see what we can do in the interim. I know we've been fighting it every year. You're right, Jim.
It's one of our top five proposals to the to the legislative body. Mr. Houseman, there is a time frame within a month or two of when the dollars are going to run out, and that's next year. But I can't remember off the top of my head. But it's next year that this money's going to run out.
You're talking about the 911 funds?
Yeah. I was, for some reason, and I may have my dates wrong, I thought it was September or October of next year.
I don't understand what you're saying, either one of you. Is there a time limit on?
Well, eventually we'll be out of money.
No, we'll be out of money.
And then we'll have to subsidize it with GCR.
Yeah, okay. Yes, okay.
Yeah, that's
his timeline.
I thought maybe it was sunsetted or something. I don't
know. No, it's no set time. I'm talking about revenues plus, and it's going to be out of funding as an estimated time frame. Do you, either one of you gentlemen know? I mean, well, as we look through the budget, I looked at it.
We're looking at probably within 2 years or so. And of course, we don't know what the revenues are going to be because the venue loss of the landline phone call is going to continue cutting the revenue.
You know, this year, due to circumstances, county commissioners didn't have their training, so a set of videos has been sent for our training. And one of the sessions that I sat through, coincidentally just this weekend as I was watching that, was a 911 presentation, and Betty Knight was one of the speakers. Mm-hmm. Of course, she's always been at the forefront from Platte County of pushing for new laws to move 911 funding forward. And her comment to one of the state reps, I thought, was pretty simple. She said, what if your son or your daughter is traveling from home where you have 911 and travels through one of the counties, because not every county does have 911, travels through one of the counties where they don't have 911, and she pushes that phone, or he pushes that 911, asking for help after some accident, and no one hears the call, and you lose a child. And I thought that was very effective. And it's also very germane. That could happen. And we need to do something. But the motion's been made and seconded to move into the consultant process and establish the criteria for that. Any more discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. I will, hopefully within just the next few days, have some information gleaned from these individuals and some support from them, and a proposal that we can put forth in a package. Is that acceptable?
Mm-hmm.
And Ron, one thing that the public needs to know is this: we talk about a 1 or 2 year time frame, and I had some dates, and Jim thought it was the sheriff thought it was another possible time frame, but it's urgent. I mean, that period of time runs by before you even know what's going on. You need to have something in place, and that's the reason I make this motion for a consultant.
Regardless what the time frame is,
right?
And like you were saying, there are a lot of counties that are reverting back to not having 911 because of the funding issues.
They can't fund it. No.
I mean, I heard it was 17 now, but I'm not sure. That's the number I came out here into 17 counties that are not don't have 911.
But I can guarantee you that those people that are traveling through those counties don't know that,
right?
And don't know that when they push 911, they're not going to get a response. Do you gentlemen have anything else to say? Sean, do you have some comments or no?
No. I've been kind of watching the funding timeline. I remember that last year's when we broke the 5-year mark. The problem is that the additional funds, additional phone lines coming offline, if you can sped that process.
Right.
Well, that revenues, Jim, for this year, can you pull up the budget there to see? I thought it was 200 and 50-some thousand at the end of this year. I mean,
you know, as I move, Jim's going to look that up for Dan. As I move forward with just developing a quick statement or two to get this out there so that we can talk to a couple of people that can carry the ball for us, and there are two or three that I already have in mind that are well-versed in this, but this is pretty simple, that we hire a consultant to coordinate an outside study to provide an analysis of existing Taney County 911 operations, determine potential savings, possible enhanced revenues, and possible consolidation. Does that sound all right, or what should I add to that? I mean, without us formally sitting down, are there other things that should be a part of this if we're going to bring a consultant? If you think of anything, would you send that information to me?
Of course, with that, they're going to, I mean, what you've got kind of a broad base there, but with that, they're going to have to consider, you know, the available building space that we have. They're going to have to consider manpower issues. If they go to considering consolidating communications, I mean, you're not talking about just Branson and Taney County. You're talking about Hollister, Forsyth, everybody. So there's going to be a lot of different considerations on that. Tower spaces and stuff that we'd have to use. There's just a whole lot involved if you go talk complete consolidation of everything.
Would the two of you, if you have an opportunity over the course of the next few days, just put down some thoughts and email those to me? And I'll consolidate that, get it right back to you, and then I'll move it forward with the county commission, and we can bring somebody that can start the process sooner rather than later.
These are thoughts on what you feel they should look at?
Yes. Yes, within the evaluation. Then.
I finally found it. Oops. I thought I did.
You mean the amount of revenues that are coming in? Well, it has to be somewhere around 450.
Yeah, we're...
I'm talking about the end of this year surplus. That's where I was going all the time.
I think our surplus right now is 477, I think, was the last that I seen.
What I've consistently seen is we've had an operating budget of $557,000, roundabout, and we're definitely receiving just less than $500,000. That continuing to grow larger because the amount of revenue is shrinking.
Yeah, we started the year at 530,000, and we're at 4-something now. And our operating budget is total expenditures is 666. So we're eating into that about 150,000 a year. So we are projecting. We were projecting to be. This is not right.
Well, we can make
We'll be around 400,000 at the end of the year. So we're supposed to, but I think what Sean was saying is the level of decrease is going down because our revenues are dropping much faster this year even than last year.
Without our expenses dropping.
Right. And we've held expenses, I mean, this is the lowest we've budgeted since 2008, this is still the lowest amount we've budgeted since 08, is what it says, but we still are, the revenues are dropping fast now. There you go.
Gentlemen, thank you for your input. Appreciate it.
And then, Sheriff, you're coming back about 11:30-ish?
Yep.
Okay.
County board appointments.
Did you get a document, Danny, about the airport board?
Yes, but I didn't know how it pertained to existing members. Did you have something, an email or anything?
Well, I thought that they had printed it out, but I'll show you here real fast. I was just...
the two things I circled is what I want you to look at there. On the IDA board, as you guys were reviewing that, let me pull up an email. I believe Debbie Redford and Tim Call spoke. I'm sorry, I'm going back. It's the wrong email. Well, I guess we'll stick to one thing at a time here. Did we reappoint the BOA people?
No.
We did not. Okay.
Matter of fact, I've got a meeting this week with a couple potential.
For BOA?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to hold off on BOA?
Right.
I'm hearing. Okay. Do you understand what I'm...
I see what you got there, but... those, Jim, I'm going to get one question. Those bylaws established from our and approved by the previous commission or by the airport board?
This was the initial board. I guess it was the airport board approved these bylaws.
The initial.
Correct, and they had never been changed since then.
I'd like to make a phone call on that, if you didn't care.
On that one?
Yeah, could we do, do you want to put that off till this afternoon? Also, on that one? Now, the other one I've got a lunch with a couple of people.
All right, so what I'm hearing is that you may just want to postpone this thing until Thursday.
That would be better for me.
Do we have time to do it on Thursday, guys?
We do. We have 1 hour left. If we stay on schedule.
So you want to move all board appointments till Thursday then?
That's what it sounds like.
Is there any more, Jim?
Transportation board at district number 5.
Did you get anybody?
Yes, we have that one individual who has signed up and is very eager to serve. His biggest drawback, he's not from here. I mean, he hasn't not moved here. He's vacationed here a lot of his life. And has retired here, but he has a strong transportation background and
a very impressive resume for sure.
And I'm not concerned with the fact of he hasn't been here his entire life. I mean,
no, but his transportation expertise,
right.
And he lives in that area,
right? He does live in that area, yes, sir. I'm trying to get his name right here for you.
Yeah, I read the resume.
But I guess what we're saying is we could also just put them all off until Thursday then, because all we have left is the IDA, and I can't find Debbie Redford's email. I think she said she had talked to Tim, and I was waiting for Tim's response.
Well, Jim, I'm ready to appoint that person there if
for transportation.
The transportation board.
All right, let me get his email then. I can do that right now. One moment. All right, here it's Ron Newman. So I'll move that we appoint Ron Newman to the Transportation District Number 5 for the remaining of the term.
I'll second that.
Motion has been made and seconded to appoint Ron Newman to Transportation District Number 5 on the Transportation Board to fill in an unexpired term?
Correct.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries unanimously. Any other boards you want to address at this time?
Just let me look. I just want to see if there's one more email or not. And it is... I don't want to pass the opportunity here to get this done real fast, if I can, sir.
I'm really just interested in the individual themselves as to whether or not they are interested.
Okay, I can't find that email. I'll hold off that until Thursday also. I believe I have the answer, which is yes, but I wanted to show you an email. So we'll just reschedule these for 12 o'clock on.
And that's, there's three, two? Or
VOA, three. IDA, and airport will be, okay. We'll do that on Thursday.
You had a name for IDA?
Debbie Redford was being considered, and I just wanted to make sure she had the time to do that. I
mean, so you hadn't contacted her?
No, I've contacted her. I've talked to her about it, but she also has commitments with the school system, and I mean, her concern was if she is on the board, she wants to make sure she can attend the meetings, and traditionally it's Mondays, and so she's working with Tim on that to see if that schedule is going to be the schedule.
Okay, so there's problems there. So that's,
well, and she just wants to, I want to make sure she said yes, and I don't see that email here. So, but we'll just reschedule this for noon on Thursday. But we have it 24 hours, so we'll just have her posted. All right.
Recess for 5 minutes.
We have got Metroplex control system that's scheduled for 11 o'clock. Let's stand in recess until 11.
Yeah.